Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I discuss Job 36:7. God does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. Darren is reminded of the passage in 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. I have found that the most effective way to read the book of Job is to use different colors in conjunction with those speaking. For instance, when Job is speaking, underline in green with your four-color pen. And when his friends are speaking, underline in blue. This has really helped me to understand what is taking place in this great book. Darren and I also read about God's awesome hand that guides all of nature. Now let's join the program.
Well, praise God, we're ready to go for it. Let me give you our toll-free number today. Again, it's 1-866-917-7256.
Can we just pray for a moment?
I think we should.
Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the listeners. I praise you, Lord, that they are being established. They're cultivating to learn your ways, Lord. And we are excited about the future, Lord. Yes, we are. And I know, Father God, that you are working all things together for their good. And I praise you, Lord, that they are excited about serving you. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless this time as we're on the radio. And thank you, Father, for your wisdom that we're going to talk about. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, in verse 36, it says in chapter 36, verse 7, it says, God does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous. Now, I'm thinking about 2 Chronicles 16:9, and I have signed off many letters. At the end of my letter, I would give them this scripture. It says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And, you know, I'm thinking about a parent. You know, sometimes they give a kid, you know, an evil eye, you know, like, you better straighten up or you're going to get it when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they look at, or sometimes it's a real eye of approval. You're like, I am so proud of you, or you did the right thing, or you showed character there. Mm-hmm. And a parent can do that. Well, here our Heavenly Father can do that. He can support us with his eyes. And I think about the scripture in the book of Acts where one of the apostles said, look at me, look at us. They fixed their gaze upon him, and the man was healed. And that anointing can go right out of the eyes of a person to another person.
Yes, that's
right. And certainly that power of God can strongly support us. Well, then going on to verse 11, it says, if they hear and serve him, they shall end their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they do not hear, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. And I'm thinking there about Hosea 4:6, that we've talked about so much, where God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, for they have rejected knowledge. I am believing, Barbara, that our listeners are growing in the faith. They're becoming more and more mature in the Word. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to me to see the letters that come in, people quoting scripture after scripture. I'm standing on this one, or I believe that one, or
yes,
I'm confessing this scripture daily and confessing that right into my problems. And I'm naming my days. I think that's exciting.
Yes, it is.
I'm calling my days prosperous. I'm calling them successful. I'm calling them happy and joyful. Well, that's good news. Well, now we go into chapter 37, and Barbara found some things over the weekend that we talked about on Friday, our last broadcast when we were with you. And where do you want to begin?
Right at the beginning of 37, I want to say that Elihu was the youngest. He joined the group after a while. At first, after Job was sitting there, he'd lost almost everything. He still had his wife, who was telling him to curse God and die. But Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar came to him, and these were, quote, friends. They came to comfort him, but later they began to criticize him unmercifully along traditional lines. And and they were certain that all the horrible things that had happened to Job was due to his own sin. Well, Elihu comes along, and he's talking about how the transgressor will have his end. Well, he was trying to tell Job he needed to ask forgiveness for his sins, but Job stood strong and said, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything wrong. And so Elihu had some great thoughts here, and it be also in 37, it's Elihu speaking. And what I'd also like to, before we get into this lesson, Darren, is I'd like to recommend, and what's helped me a lot, is as I read through Job, I lined all the words in Job that I wanted to remember in green, and then his friends in different colors. So I began to make a separation between Job speaking and his friends speaking, and that's really helped me a lot over the years.
So contextually, you really have to pay attention to be able to do that.
You do. And to be able to understand it, you need to know who's speaking and at what point.
Right.
Job then is again retorting or coming back.
Now,
so
one of the things we like about the New American Standard that we recommend is that it capitalizes like he in a verse, like
yes.
verse 3. Under the whole heaven, he
yes.
lets it loose. He's talking, they're honoring God.
Yes.
And if it talks about the Lord, if it's a capital L, I use the word Lord. There could have been somebody with that title on the earth, but mm-hmm. the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is going to be talking about Jesus or Father God.
Yes.
That's like, why we like this translation.
That's right. And like in verse 3 of 37, and his lightning, that his is capitalized. So we know that's God that Elihu is talking about. Now here we begin. At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Listen closely to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that goes out from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it loose, and his lightning to the ends of the earth. A voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice. He does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. God thunders with his voice wondrously, doing great things which we cannot comprehend. For to the snow he says, fall on the earth, and to the downpour and to the rain he says, come down, be strong. He seals the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Now see, that's another reason I know, Darren, that before a man or woman dies, and it's also spoken of in Romans, that all men know his work. He has revealed himself to all men on this earth in some way or the other. He's revealed himself. And people say, well, he didn't know the Lord. He didn't know how to receive the Lord. I believe the Lord's revealed himself to everyone.
You know, and the Lord is an instructor with individualized instruction.
That's right.
I said to a man that we were praying for this weekend, I said to him, you know, God knows what he has to do to get through to you. He knows what he has to do to get through to me or through to you, Barbara. And he can tailor his teaching and instruction for us because he knows all of us have had different backgrounds.
Yes.
All of us have been exposed to different things that affects your ability to learn or to perceive or to retain. Well, I think this, if we're reading the Bible and we say, boy, I'm having a hard time understanding this stuff, we can say, now listen, Lord God, I do not have our roles mixed up. You're the teacher, I'm the student,
oh,
and
so
I
good.
Am here to learn.
Yes, so good.
Now,
yes.
Now, that's a very important statement because sometimes people want to teach God a thing or two. Well, that's, boy, that's really dangerous. And I'll tell you, when we humble ourselves and we say, okay, you're the teacher, I'm the student, how do you want to do it? Lord God, you're the teacher, you're the instructor, and I'm here to learn because mm-hmm. I don't want to repeat the grade. And some of you out there have been going around the same mountain for a long, long time, and it's time that you stopped. And like Job, I love his confidence when he said, I'm without sin here. I'm without sin. Sometimes the devil backs us in a corner. What we need to do is cast not away our confidence, but say, listen, I know that there's nothing between me and my Heavenly Father. I have confessed my sin. Now, devil, in Jesus' name, you get out of here. And sometimes we have to take on our friends and back them off. They say, oh, you're self-righteous, you're this and that and other thing. And they're trying to put you down or bring you down or make you feel bad or intimidate you, exactly like Job.
Yes, absolutely.
Sometimes you have to look them in the eye and say, listen, I have confessed my sins. And sometimes you have to say, have you confessed yours? Know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And one time I remember Jesse Duplantis was talking. He was cornered by a television reporter, and there had been some sin in the hierarchy of the church. And this television reporter came, well, what do you think about so-and-so's adulterous affairs? And Duplantis looked him right in the eye and said, well, have you ever had an affair? You know, and this television reporter happened to be a woman. Well, I tell you, she got all flustered because she had had. And, you know, it was nice when she could be on the offensive. But sometimes we need to stand our ground and say, now, wait a minute. Before God, my hands are clean. Sometimes if you're in a street fight, you might say to them, how about you? And I need, right. I think sometimes we just roll over as Christians and let the world run over us. That, don't do that.
Absolutely true.
I think that's an embarrassment to the Lord God when we give in so easily. Yes. Anyway, go on with your, you've got a wonderful lesson.
You had asked about the frost. And yes, and in the King James, the frost is mentioned here and the 38th chapter. But in this rendering, from the breath of God, ice is made. And that's verse 10 of 37. And that's Hebrew. From the breath of God, ice is made. And the expanse of the waters is frozen. Also, and we know that frost in itself cannot freeze a great lake. The temperature has to get down and it becomes ice. And this year, the ponds have been so thin here in Colorado. I mean, it's been cold at nights, but it has been so warm here that we've had a couple of deaths because children have played on the ice and have broken through. And that's really sad when the ice doesn't hold it up. But God is, you know, Elihu is saying here, the breath of God has made the ice. The expanse of the waters is frozen. Also with moisture, he loads the thick clouds and he disperses the cloud of his lightning, and it changes direction, turning around by God's guidance, that it may do whatever God commands it on the face of the inhabited earth. See, God is in control, Darren. It's so, this is such a wonderful, wonderful chapter. Whether for correction, we talked about this Friday, whether for correction or for his world or for loving kindness, he causes it to happen. Now, we're going to have a call here in just a few minutes from our friend Roger on an update on Officer Coates. And sometimes God allows things for correction, allows things for, because of his loving kindness, causes things to happen so that men may come to know him. And I believe sometimes a man like this Officer Coates was put in a position of great danger because God wants people to see his glory. And in the New Testament, when the blind man came and was healed, they said, well, did he, who was it that caused his blindness, his parents or his sin? And Jesus said, no, that the glory of God might be shown upon
the
earth.
You know, I was watching the national weather last night for just a little bit, and this little blonde on there, I think her name is Resultant, and I've never heard that name except on that show. But it was showing the coal coming in from Canada over North Dakota.
Yes.
And I remembered I did a seminar one time in Bismarck, and it was, I think it was the 45th straight day where they'd had below zero, not just freezing, but below zero weather. And these North Dakota folks are just tough as nails. I'll tell
they
you,
are.
They
are.
I mean, how they can take that.
And they can get out there and feed the cattle. And
that's right. Oh. And it gets hotter and blazes in the summertime. And, you know, I say, now, how come anybody would stay there? Well, you have to be born there, I guess, maybe to stay there. But here I think about the Lord God is the one that here that can cure our weather problems. And
yes,
we need to be crying out to him for moisture.
Amen.
We so desperately need moisture on the Front Range of Colorado, and that is everything east of the Rocky Mountains here is considered Front Range. We are so dry, dry, dry. We've had too many of these days. Like today, it's supposed to get up to 60 degrees here. Now, that's nice, but it's not nice.
Yes.
We need to have a couple blizzards lay some snow on us. Well, we've got our friend here from the land of the rain. That's liquid sunshine, right? Mm-hmm. Hi, Roger.
Yes.
How are
Hi.
You? Did I say something bad about Portland, saying that you come from liquid sunshine?
Oh, we're supposed to get some tonight.
Are you really?
Oh, bring, hey, Lex,
send
bring
some
it
of it over
way.
Here.
Well, we're also low on our snowpack as well.
Mm,
really?
Wow.
And Barbara, you're right on about the braiders.
Thank you, Roger.
Sorry, Jeff.
Hey, this
I want to bring some levity a little bit.
Oh, thank you.
I am outnumbered.
Outnumbered? Oh. Boy, across the nation you're outnumbered.
That's be right. I'll tell you, if she starts wearing silver and black at the house, I'm going to do something.
Well,
you've got a report for us on Officer Coates.
Yes, a great program you're already starting on. Just give you an update. I know you've been praying for him, and you've mentioned on the radio. He's still in critical condition, and yet, though, they have seen some movement on his left side, which they thought might be paralyzed because of the way the bullet went into his brain in that area.
Praise God.
So, but they've had some movement on his left side. His feet and hands have had some movement.
Didn't I understand this morning, I was driving, and Barbara talked to you earlier on the phone, that there was a great neurologist on staff when he was brought in?
Yeah, that was really interesting. The night of that shooting, they knew that it was going to be a hot call, what they call a hot call. So they had sent an ambulance along with them. So an ambulance was sitting out there waiting because they knew something could come down. There were no other calls at that point. And then one of the three top surgeons in the nation was on duty at Emmanuel Hospital.
Amazing.
That night.
God knows what he's doing.
Well, you know, his wife has publicly also forgiven the boy who shot her husband.
That's odd. You can't do that unless you're a Christian.
That's true.
I mean, you'd want to get the kid and kill him.
Yeah.
Well, especially since he's improving.
Yeah.
You know, and he hasn't learned a thing. He's as rebellious as he was when he shot the officer in the face.
That's correct. He tried to get out of the hospital, and now he's in chains.
That's
so he's not a repentant type kid. I'm sure he's scared all to pieces.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they say that he might have been on drugs, so he might be going through withdrawal and all that stuff, too. But it was interesting to me is that Damon's wife was warned, or at least she felt that she ought to have pray, and she had a prayer group at the church pray.
Wow, that's powerful.
And the telecast said that she was afraid. Now, whether that was their interpretation or whether she, you know, sometimes we use words like, I'm afraid, when really we're saying we're not really afraid, we're just concerned and we're praying.
Right.
But I'll tell you, sometimes our words can get us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and so we need to be careful how we use our words. But, you know, it's interesting. God has used this, is going to use this circumstance, obviously.
I believe that.
But I think, you know, I'm thinking people that are out there listening audience, because right now they're activating a lot of military people. And, you know, they're going to be put in harm's way, just like our police officers that do that in our fire people, fire department type people work. And they put themselves in harm's way every day. And, you know, you have a power partner that's a state police officer, I believe.
Right. Yes, we do.
And I think we need to encourage our folks to really begin to speak and really expect God to protect them and not that they would come back injured. Just really start working on that warfare end of it and take authority and begin. Because I was reading an article that there, in the Gulf War, there were priests in the Muslim faith and et cetera that were actually speaking curses on our military.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that right now the Iraqi priests and ministers in that area are now speaking curses of confusion and sickness and all this sort of thing on our military folks as well, and we need to pray against that.
Well, you know, the same thing happened in Vietnam.
Yes.
You know, they were cursing our men there.
And they came back with a lot of mental disorders.
Well, and one thing they cursed a lot of the servicemen in Vietnam was that they'd never have a home, they'd be homeless. And that's been one of the marks of our Vietnam veterans in many cases, too many cases.
Well, I also think that as a nation, we need to apologize to our Vietnam vets as well. Because we have, you know, they came back, they were spit upon, they were just degraded as individuals, and they were doing what our country asked them to do.
Exactly, exactly. Well,
and so I think our nation really, until we can do that, I don't think we're going to be in a real good position.
Well, you know, on the front page of the Denver paper this last week, they said there's 37,000 Coloradoans headed for the Gulf.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot of
fight that war
here,
you know.
As well.
Well, sure. You know, you have those huge military bases there in the Northwest. But I do believe this, that God can protect our men and women that are out there, you know, fighting the war. And it irritates me to the core some of these people that say, well, we don't have a problem. You know, I want to say, what did September 11th tell you?
Yeah.
We have a problem.
Yeah, we do.
And, you know, do we have to have poison gas dropped on New York City for us to finally get the message that there are people out there that want to kill us? And I'm, you know.
Yeah, it really is. And I think of Mark 11, 23 and 24. You know, it says, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, and believes. See, that doubt is real critical, I think.
It is.
And believes that what he says is going to happen, it'll be granted. Therefore, I say to you, for which all things you ask, believe that you received them. You know, faith requires something you can't see.
It does.
You know, people are going to be leaving and not be seen, and there are forces that are not going to be seen, that if we do actually have a war in Iraq, that, you know, we need to really take authority over that.
I agree, and we need to speak safety over our men and women that are going, and believe what you said there. Believe that you have received.
Yeah.
We need to believe that we have received protection for these men and women and for our law enforcement people. And
one of the things that I get really upset with is the people, the denomination I came out of, would say, if it be thy will.
Right.
Which to me sometimes is a real cop-out.
It's ignorant.
Because we already know what God's will is.
Yes, we do.
In many, many areas of our daily walks.
Right.
And God wants our military to be protected.
You know, sometimes I think we think our officers have just all the protection they need. They're all powerful. I pulled up beside a patrolman one morning about 5:30, and he's not far from our house, and he was sitting next to an intersection where there's a lot of people run the red light, and I'm glad he was there. But his patrol car was running, and I could see no lights. It was totally dark. I pulled up, and I put the driver's window, or the window down on the passenger side, and all I asked him was, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine. Well, I think sometimes we need to check on them, and particularly if we're going by an accident scene or maybe somebody's getting a ticket, or I've been going down the road when they had some guy out of the car and they were hooking him up, you know, as they say in law enforcement, they were putting the handcuffs on him. And here in Denver, you know, we've had all kinds of weird things this weekend, you know, people hijacking cars, carjacking.
Right, heard that, yes.
Well, I think we need, as you're saying, we need to pray for these officers and bless them with protection, because that officer has a family someplace.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like we are. They happen to wear a badge, but they're like we are. They bleed, you know, when they hurt.
Yes.
And when they're in pain, they're hurting. So
yeah.
We need to pray. Well, how should we pray for Officer Coates?
Well, I think we need to continue to just really uplift his family, of course, mm-hmm. because they're the ones that are, he's still, quote, in a coma. But one of the things I'd really pray that everyone that goes into Damon Coates's room would speak faith and uplifting and encouraging words, because his spirit can hear everything that's spoken in that room.
You're absolutely right, yes.
And I just really would pray that everybody would be just convicted that when they walk in that room, that it's just a positive environment for him to be healed and to really come out of this coma that he's in.
Well, you know, Roger, there's a scripture in Matthew 18, verse 18 and 19. I want to read it very quickly. And it says, truly I say to you, whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Now, I don't put my agreement with people that I don't trust spiritually.
Yeah.
You know, if they're into unbelief, I can't agree with that. But I know you so well that I can trust you to pray, and I will put my agreement with yours. I can tell you that ahead of time. Barbara, are you with us on this?
Yes, yes.
She's going to agree also. So, my friend, would you pray for Officer Coates?
Yes, Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we know that, Father, that name is powerful,
yeah.
Yeshua. And we just, Father, would agree that environment in which he is in, that everyone that would come through that door, Father, would sense and would have a change, that they would just, that their countenance would change. And Father, everything they would say would be positive and encouraging. And I would encourage those that are there just simply that they would read the word to him and speak life to him. Because Father, we know there's enough death around here. And so Father, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose will be loosed in heaven. And Father, so right now in the name of Jesus, I would bind, take authority and just, Father, declare that Satan cannot have his way and destroy this man, and yes. he would be crippled. So, Father, we Amen. Would loose then your healing power and all that, all the forces of heaven to come and to work with this man. And, Father, that he would be restored to wholeness.
Yes. Amen.
And that, Father, he would rise up and to the glory of God would be really restored to his position, because he's a respected man in this community, Father, and we know that that would be speaking really, really tremendously to the world in which we live.
Hallelujah.
But, Father, I also pray for each one of us here that in our circumstances that we would actually take that authority and really believe that you are a God that can actually meet our
Amen.
Needs every day, every hour.
Yes.
And, Father, that you want to protect us. In fact, you want to talk to us and speak to us. And so, Father, we just take that and agree with that. But I'd also uplift all the fire workers who go into dangerous situations and can inhale certain chemicals, etc. And all of our police officers that go out daily on that beat and go out and help protect us. Father, I pray a special protection over those folks
Amen.
Each and every day.
Thank you,
Father, Lord. I know that many people know those people, and they are right, they do have families, that they would really take authority and begin to really pray, not if it be thy will, but really get into the scriptures and find out what God really says about protection
mm-hmm.
and walk in that
Amen.
With the fullness that God protects us, that expects us to walk in.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're just right there at the wall,
you,
out of time today, but Father God, in agreement here with Roger and his wonderful prayer, we pray for all of the law enforcement people and all of our military personnel.
Yes.
Lord, we just speak protection over them. We know they will be protected. And Lord, we're asking through the spirit of might and the gift of miracles and the gift of faith that Officer Coates will be totally restored with no damage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We love you, Roger. God
love
bless you.
Too.
Thanks for your call, brother.
Have a great day.
God
you
bless.
Too. God bless
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I hope that you've enjoyed listening to this Encore show. You must understand as you grow in the Lord that He greatly values your obedience to His word. He said in Job 22:28, "And you shall decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and light will shine on your ways." That's the kind of merciful and loving God you serve. Thank you for listening, and until the next time on Call to Freedom, God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in